We have been doing a series called Firmly Rooted. We're looking at what we believe as a church, and it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. We're all called to be disciples of the Lord Jesus. We're all called to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only to be disciples, to go out and make disciples of other people. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. Say a learner. Are you a learner? Amen, amen. Someone who listens and adheres to instruction. Someone that's teachable. Someone that's pliable. Someone that's willing to make adjustments in themselves. And it's important that a true disciple is not one that just hears only, but also is willing to use what they've heard to affect and impact their life, to allow what we believe to govern our life. That's the really important key. Today, our subject is a little on the serious side. We're going to be talking about sin. It's important to know and understand what sin is and how it works and really understand the nature of sin. Today, again, I encourage you, we have lessons put together for each of these sermons. There's lessons, you can get them at the Information Center, or you can go online to our website and download them. I won't be going over everything that's in the lesson here, but this is a good reference for you to do some further study on the subjects that we're teaching. So I think everybody wants to be free from sin. You know, there's a lot of talk about sin in the Bible. You can be free from the power of sin in your life. I don't know if you know that or not, but you can be free from the power of sin in your life. You need to know how to get the victory over sin in your life. We know from the scriptures that Jesus came to set us free from sin. How many of you are glad about that? Amen. The Bible says that positionally we are free from sin. We've been set free from the power of sin. But we need to make sure that that's a reality in our everyday life. When the Bible talks about sin, there are three thoughts about sin I want to clarify. The Bible defines sin as lawlessness. Sometimes when we talk about sin, we refer to the nature of sin. The Bible says that when you get born again, you become a new creation in Christ. The old man, that old sinful man, has been done away with. The old nature on the inside of you, the nature of the enemy, has been done away with. And you've been given a new life, a new nature. That's the reason why people need to be born again. It's not that they do all these things wrong. It's that they have the wrong nature on the inside of them. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that we were separated from the life of God. We no longer had the nature of God. We had the sin nature on the inside of us. And Jesus came and undid that, and he gave us his nature, and we have a new nature on the inside of us. And then the Bible also talks about sin in reference to acts of sinning. We're going to read later from 1 John, but it talks about that if we make mistakes, if we sin, if we make mistakes, we can be forgiven. And then the Bible also gives the thought regarding sin that sin is living habitually in sin, or that people are compelled to sin, or they practice sin in their life. So sometimes when you read in the scriptures where it says sin or it makes reference to sin, you really need to understand what the Bible's talking about. Is it the sin nature? Is it the act of sinning? Or is it living habitually in sin? And there is a difference between these thoughts. Wherever there is sin, there is death. The Bible says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. Wherever there's sin, whether it be the sin nature, the act of sinning, or living habitually in sin, there is death. We find back in the garden where Adam and Eve partook of the tree and sinned against God. And God told them that if they partook of this tree, that they would die. they might have been thinking in the physical that the moment they took a bite that they would die instantly. That wasn't the case. They died spiritually. Wherever there's sin, there's death and bondage. Let's turn to John, the 8th chapter, in verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Those that sin, those that practice sin or have a lifestyle of sin, the Bible says that they become a slave to sin. God wants you to be free of all sin. Say all sin. No matter what kind of sin it is, God wants you free. God wants you free of all sin. And the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean that we all have to live as sinners in bondage to sin. Do you see that? We don't have to live our life in bondage to sin. We don't have to practice sin in our life. 1 John, the first chapter, in verse 8, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." How many of you are glad that God forgives us of all sin? Say all sin.
All sin.
How many sin?
All.
And He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That means that there's a sin, there's not a sin that you can commit that's too dark, that's too big, that's too wide for God to forgive. God forgives everything. But notice it says that we have to confess our sins. We have a part to play in that process. We have to repent. We have to come to God and tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. We have to confess our sins. And the Bible says that He is faithful. He's faithful. He will cleanse us. He will forgive us. God has made a way for us to be free from the power of sin. And that way is through the blood of Jesus. It's through the blood. Every sin you could ever commit is covered under the blood of Jesus. If you back up to verse 7 in 1 John, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." How many sins?
All.
The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to cleanse you of all sin. Let's talk a moment about how sin works. I know that we don't really talk about these things on an everyday basis, but it's good for you to have understanding. It's good for you to know and understand these things because we're supposed to go out and make disciples. And people are struggling with sin in their life. And many people want to be free, but they don't know how. And we have the answers. We have the answers right here. And so let's talk about how sin works in someone's life, how it can bring them into bondage. I believe that if we understand the process, it'll give us a greater understanding of how to walk free of it. Jesus came not only to give us eternal life, but He also came to give us a victorious life. Boy, that there's such a revelation there. God didn't just come, God didn't just send His Son to give us eternal life, but He sent His Son that we could have an abundant life. "I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly." God wants you to have a victorious life. He doesn't want you to be down and out and discouraged and barely getting by and just barely be saved. He wants you to have a life of victory, having the joy of the Spirit, the life of God in you, the peace of God, having victory in your heart. That's what God wants for you. And you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God has come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And, you know, you can be born again and you can be on your way to heaven, but you could be living in bondage. God doesn't want you to be living in bondage in any area of your life. You might have some freedoms in some areas, but you might be in bondage in some others. You are only as free as your mind is free. You are only as free as your mind is free. Satan takes us captive in the area of our thinking. Sin begins in your thought life. Jesus came to defeat the enemy and make us free. The Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Well, where is that truth? How do we possess truth? It's mainly in our thought life. We need to understand that the main battlefield is in the arena of your mind. Where do we understand truth? In our thought life. Where do we come into bondage to sin? It's primarily in our thinking. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. You doing all right this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Stay with us. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, say every thought, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We are in a battle. We are in a war against thoughts, strongholds, bondage. Really, those things are really strongholds and bondage. It's a house of thought. It's a house of thought. Any thought you don't take captive will captivate you. Any thought you don't take captive will captivate you. Pulling down thoughts, the Bible says. When you are in sin, you are a slave to sin. You know, we don't like to expose sin for what it is, but when you're in sin, you are a slave to it. There are lots of people enslaved by sin. And guess what? They're not happy about it. It might look like fun in the beginning, but sin ensnares you. It makes you serve it. It controls your life. When you have a stronghold or a bondage in your life, it's a house of thoughts, a way of thinking. When you have things like anger, fear, addictions, lust, depression that constantly plague your life, they are a house of thought. What do I mean by a house of thought? Well, how many of you live in a house or an apartment or something you call home? Your house, your home, is a place where you dwell. You live there. A house of thought is a place you live. Thoughts that are familiar, things you think often, things that surround you. A house of thought. Well, it establishes patterns of thinking in your life. They are repeated again and again. That's what bondage is. Things that you think about again and again, things that hold you. The problem is not the substance, but rather the way you think about the substance. Think about it. Alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, pornography, food, whatever the substance is. That's not the issue. The issue is your thinking in relationship to that substance. The problem is not the circumstances in your life, but rather the way you think about the circumstances in your life. Maybe you have anger, depression, fear. You think about yourself as an angry person. You think about yourself as a depressed person. You think about yourself as a fearful person. That's the biggest problem. The problem is not your past. but rather the way you think about your past. Well, I've been hurt in my past. People have wronged me in my past. I come from a painful upbringing. I'm full of pain. See, you're thinking about yourself in reference to your past. You're thinking of yourself as a wounded person, as a hurt person, as an offended person. And that's what's holding you in bondage, the way you think. A problem is a house of thought. We have been so trained in life to look at the natural things. Focus on the natural things. You're trying to get rid of alcohol from your life. Focus on not drinking, not drinking, not drinking, not smoking, not eating, not looking at pornography, not doing wrong, not swearing, not doing things. We focus on the natural, trying to resist the actions. You'll never win the war there. You can't focus on the external. You have to go back to the root of it. Your thought life. The way you think of yourself in relationship to those things. The way you look at yourself. I'm a fearful person. That's how some people look at themselves. I'm a sickly person. I don't have courage. I'm always upset. I'm always uptight. Is that the way God created you to be? No. We need to change our thinking. If you're going to have victory over sin in your life, it begins with your thought life. It begins with not the actions, not the substance, not the circumstance, not your past. It begins with your relationship with your thought life. The Apostle Paul said, we take every thought captive. How many thought?
Every.
Every thought. Think about that a minute. That means that there should be no rogue thoughts in your mind. You are to take them captive. The word captive means to be taken, held as a prisoner, to confine, to restrain, to keep in confinement. I like that last one, keep in confinement. You're supposed to keep some thoughts in confinement, meaning that they shouldn't have access to your mind. They shouldn't have access to your life. You must take wrong thoughts captive and refuse to allow them to have access to your thinking. You bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. The word obedience from the Greek, the word is hupakou, and it means to listen under. To listen under, to bring authority, to be fully compliant. The Bible says that our thoughts are to come under. We are to bring them, to make them fully compliant to Christ. Your thoughts should be fully compliant to Christ. The enemy has introduced thoughts that are contrary to God's word. As we take these thoughts in our life, they become patterns of thought or a house of thought, strongholds, arguments, things in our life that bring us in the wrong direction. When we have these things in our life, they are contrary to what God has for us. And we need to speak truth to them. We need to speak truth to those wrong thoughts. I heard a testimony of a man who was struggling with smoking. He began to say, I'm a non-smoker. He smoked for years and years. And it was he tried to quit several times, and he saw himself as a smoker. But he began to say, I'm a non-smoker. You know, I think sometimes we're not even aware of the thought patterns that are going on in our own minds. Maybe you have something in your life like that. And you think of yourself, I've tried giving that up before, and it's been so hard, I can't do it. You see yourself as a smoker, a drinker, or whatever. Begin to speak to it. Begin to speak truth to that area of your life. He began to say, I'm a non-smoker. It was hard for him to even imagine that he wouldn't smoke. But he began to speak to it. He said, I'm a non-smoker. We need to see ourselves the way God created us. And God didn't create us as a smoker. And again, it's not the issue of nicotine. That's not the issue. But rather the way you see yourself and your relationship to it. Every time there was a temptation for him to have a cigarette, he would say, I'm a non-smoker. I'm a non-smoker. And it began to change his mind about how he saw himself. Now, the urges didn't go away immediately after he began to say, I'm a non-smoker, but it was a short period of time, and he had quit smoking. He began to speak truth to those areas of his life where he felt in bondage. Our problems with sin, habits, addiction is not the issue itself, but you're thinking about it. Don't see yourself as weak. Don't see yourself as fearful. Don't see yourself in bondage to it. Don't accept it that it will never change in your life. God came to set you free. Well, how is that process of freedom realized in your life? Well, you have to renew your mind. You have to begin to think like God thinks. You have to change your thinking from old bondage ways to the way God has made you. Again, don't focus on the sin or the habit or the addiction. That's not the issue. It's your thinking about those things. You can't use your own strength, your own flesh, to solve spiritual problems. Let me say that again. You can't use your flesh or your strength to solve spiritual problems. When you are trying to fight bad thoughts with your flesh, with your strength, you are fighting the wrong enemy. We don't fight bad thoughts. When you're trying to use your strength, you're using the wrong weapons. You'll lose every time when you do that. God didn't call you to set yourself free. God didn't call you to set yourself free. If you could set yourself free, there'd be no need for Jesus. This is not a self-help issue. The gospel is not self-help. It's the greater one on the inside of you, radiating out of you, changing and burning that garbage off of you. You speak the truth of God's word over your circumstances. You allow His words to become your words. And as you allow His word to become your words, you permeate the air and you dispel the darkness from your life. You have to use His word because your words are not strong enough. Your words are not powerful enough. I think we can all relate to an area of our life where perhaps you tried in your own strength to do something. Maybe it was a New Year's resolution. Maybe it was to go on a diet. Maybe it was to save money. Maybe it was to do something in your life. And you said, I'm going to do this. I'm determined. I'm going to do this. And sooner or later, your own willpower, your own strength gives out. And you go back to the way you were. You need God on the inside of you to empower you. You need His word to come out your mouth to change those circumstances. You go to the word and you see who you are. You get a glimpse of who you are. And when you begin to see who you are, you speak truth to yourself. Stop believing the lies that you have told to yourself. Well, I'm just a liar. I'm fat. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm weary. I'm ugly. I'm stupid. We tell ourselves lies all the time. We don't go around and announce those things. We don't go around and even talk about those things. But we, nevertheless, some of us believe those things. And when you believe those things, you hold your life in bondage to those things. Jesus wants you to be free. He has made a way for you to be free. And it begins in your thought life. You have got to begin to speak truth to the lies of the enemy, to the lies you've told yourself. Speak the truth. You can't use your flesh or your own strength to solve spiritual problems. When you are trying to fight bad thoughts with your flesh, with your own strength, you are fighting the wrong enemy. God didn't call you to fight thoughts. He said to cast those thoughts down, to bring every thought into captivity. Don't use the wrong weapons and don't fight the wrong enemies. You see, a lot of people are feeling spiritual. They're pressing in, they're pushing in, they're exerting energy to be spiritual, but they're still walking in defeat. Why? Because they're fighting the wrong battle and they're using the wrong weapons and they're just wearing themselves out trying spiritual. If you want to win the war, you've got to use the right weapon and you have to focus that weapon on the right enemy. That's how you're going to get free. You are the gatekeeper of your thought life. Think about it. The enemy doesn't determine what you think about. God doesn't determine what you think about. You do. People like to get real spiritual. Well, God tells me what to think about. Oh, really? Then why is there sin in your life? If God's in charge of your every waking thought, why are you having troubles? There is no trouble in God. There is no sin in God. No, we're in charge of what we think about. Not the devil and not God. You are. God put you in charge. Now hopefully you'll go to God and allow Him to show you what to think about. But ultimately you are in charge. For you to be set free, you have to understand that your mind is the battlefield. The enemy will try to hold you captive with your thoughts. For you to be victorious, you're going to have to make Jesus the Lord of your thought life. We talk about it all the time. Is Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? Well, is He the Lord and Savior of your thought life? Let's put it this way. What you're thinking about, would He be pleased with it? The Apostle Paul said, every thought. It's not okay once in a while to think things that are not right. Well, I'm a good person. And then go off and spend a few hours thinking on things that are not clean or not right. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submitting your mind in God. Without it, you will not have a chance of overcoming sin in your life. When Jesus gets to decide what thoughts stay in your mind as you bring them to Him, that's when you're going to win. God's Word is the spiritual weapon. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the armor of God. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Notice it says all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. All of these pieces of armor have to do with truth. Six elements in all. Girding your loins with truth. Your loins. The part of you that reproduces and eliminates. You're to reproduce truth and eliminate error. Excuse me. Breastplate of righteousness. The enemy always tries to rob us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. You have been made righteous, the Bible says, because of what Jesus did. Not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus did, you've been made righteous. Righteous means to be in right standing. God puts you in right standing with him. Helmet of salvation, thinking saved thoughts. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That, you know, in Bible days, Roman soldiers, they had cleats on the bottom of their sandals so that they could advance the enemy. You know, that's the picture that we're seeing here, that you should be advancing, that you should be on the attack, not cowering in fear somewhere. Having a shield of faith, not just a little circle, a hubcap that you hold on your arm, a shield, a full body shield to protect you from the enemy. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. These are our weapons. You need the truth of God's word. The Bible is the source of truth. Over in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, we read about the word of God. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and the discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. It says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who must give an account. We must give an account. You know, the Bible says that God's word is a double-edged sword. It'll kill the bad stuff in you, like a sword, and it will heal the wounds in you like a scalpel, a double-edged sword. You have to have the word in your thinking. If you want to walk in victory over sin, over addictions, over habits, over things that hold you back in bondage, you need to have the word of God in your thought life. That's how you win. That's how you break free. That's how you get victory over that thing that plagues your life. So, here's a very simple one. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. Oh, we love that, the end of that passage there. Whatever we do, we prosper. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Whatever we do, we prosper. Oh, prosper. Yay, prosperity. Oh, we like to prosper, don't we? Well, the only way to get to the end of that verse is doing the verses that are in front of it. It says, when you meditate, I believe God will prosper you. I believe God will bless your life. I believe that He'll meet your needs and cause increase in your life. He'll set you free. He'll deliver you. He'll bring you up and out. He'll break off the junk that's around your life. But you're going to have to meditate in the Word of God. If you meditate in His Word, everything you do will prosper. I didn't say that. God said that. That sounds too hard or too difficult. Well, it's not. Meditating on God's Word is not a difficult thing. The word meditate means to think on, to consider, to ponder, to muse, to mutter, to ruminate. Now, I didn't always know what that word ruminate meant. I'm going to tell you what it means. This is not some Eastern meditation. This is not some New Age idea. This is biblical. This is biblical. The word ruminate means to chew again that which has already been chewed slightly and swallowed. This is kind of a gross concept, but it'll bring about the understanding. Animals that chew the cud, they chew food, swallow it, regurgitate it, and chew it again. And they do that all day long. That's the idea here about meditating. Biblical meditation is spiritual warfare. You know, I know sometimes people get weird ideas about what spiritual warfare is. You know, that we have to scream at the devil, we have to, you know, dress in camo, we have to do all kinds of crazy things. But true spiritual warfare, you use the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That's how you win. Every time Jesus dealt with the enemy, he said, "It is written." It is written. That's how you win. And so if you want to win, you're going to have to be like Jesus and use the word. But again, biblical meditation is the practice of repeated reading or speaking. It's thinking about specific scriptures. Biblical meditation, we reprogram our brains to think differently. We replace the bondage-related thoughts. Well, I'm so fearful, I'm so addicted, I'm so this, I'm so that. We replace that kind of thinking with the truth of God's Word. And it's not just something we do on Sunday morning. Okay, here's a scripture, I'm going to think on it. Okay, I'm good for the week. No. It's that word ruminate again. You take a text of Scripture and you meditate on it. You read it. You think about it. You chew on it. You swallow it. And then later in the day you bring it back up and you think on it and you chew on it and you swallow it. And you do that several times a day. That's the idea of meditation. And I always say this too: read what you need. Read what you need. If you're struggling in an area of sin or anger or not walking in love, read what you need. Don't go back to Leviticus and read about the law, or go to Numbers and read about all the numbers. Read what you need. Find something that pertains to the situation you're going through. Read what you need. Let it be relevant. Meditate on it. Think on it. Think about it again and again. Attack the problem in your life with the Word. Or maybe you just want to learn something from the Word. God can give you revelation from the Word of God as you meditate on it. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll try to finish up here. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." You know, this is reminding us to keep the Word in front of us. Four times a day you should meditate on the Word. This is so practical. Think about the times that you struggle in your thought life. I don't know about you, but many times When I lay down to go to bed, thoughts come. When it's quiet in the early morning, thoughts come. When I'm driving home from work or I'm not really doing anything, thoughts come. You see, it's not when I'm busy, it's not when I'm going 90 miles an hour doing something that I feel my thoughts attacking me. It's in the quiet times. And that's what he's saying here. When you lie down, when you get up, remind yourself of the word. So now when I have a practice when I go to bed, I try to think of all the scriptures that I know, as many as I can think of. Or if there's something I'm going through in particular, or words that I've meditated, that I'm meditating on, I think of those. You need to have the word of God in your thinking. That's how you're going to break free. Every time you think of yourself being addicted to something, you need to have that word right there. Don't see yourself as addicted. See yourself as free. Talk about yourself as free. Change the way you look and the way you think about it. That's what's going to make you free. Change your relationship to that thing. Don't love those things that keep you in bondage. Hate them as God hates them. You will notice, you know, that you need to have that word in your spirit man. God's thoughts are more powerful than your thoughts. They're more powerful than the enemy's thoughts. That's why we need his word. You can't take a thought out of your mind. You know that? You can't take a thought out of your mind. You can only replace it. So for the next 2 minutes, I want to talk to you. We're not going to think about pink elephants. Everybody, don't think about pink elephants. Everybody, stop thinking about pink elephants. Don't think about their long trunks. Don't think about how big they are. Don't think about pink elephants. What are you doing? Thinking about pink elephants. You can't take thoughts out of your head. Okay, everybody, don't think about yellow cats. Don't think about yellow cats. Don't think about them. For the next couple of minutes, don't think about them. Don't think about them meowing or how furry they are. Don't think about yellow cats. You need to replace those thoughts with truth. You need to say, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That will stop those thoughts. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I am the healed of the Lord. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from every destruction. Healing and health belong to me. They are in my body. His word is already working on the inside of me, driving away sickness and disease, driving out pain and sick symptoms from my body. You have to begin to have the word in your thinking. That's how you're going to win. The enemy comes with fear and it tries to get in your head, but when you battle it with your own thoughts, you're going to lose. You have to have God's thoughts. You can't rage mental warfare with the enemy. He will wear you out, he will wear you down, and you will lose. But when you come at him with God's word, you set him to flight. He can't resist the word of God. You know, he'll bring thoughts of unworthiness, guilt, and fear, and worry, and all these other garbage things. You just have to take the word to it. You are the gatekeeper of your mind. You are. The devil can't decide what you think about. God doesn't even decide. You do. So turn the channel. Biblical meditation is the only thing that will break sin and addictions in your life. It's not a difficult thing, but it's something that you have to apply. The battlefield is the mind, the word of God is the weapon, and biblical meditation is the process. The battlefield is the mind, the word is the weapon, and biblical meditation is the process. Be free. Be free as God intended for you to be free. Let's stand up. I want to pray. Maybe you're here today and you've got some stuff in your life that you'd like to get rid of, today's your day.
That's right.
Today is your day. Begin to change how you think about that area of your life. Don't see yourself defeated. Don't see yourself living in bondage to it. Don't see it as greater than you. Sometimes the enemy will tell you, you're just powerless. You're weak. You can't do it. You can't. You've tried and tried and tried and you can't do it. That's a lie from the enemy. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You begin to speak truth to it. Speak truth from your heart to it. Maybe this afternoon you'll have to go home and look up some scriptures that you can stand on, truths that you can speak to it. You do that. It's worth freedom. I tell you, it's good to be free. It's good to be free.
Amen.
Not to have your life dominated by fear or addictions or things that hold you in bondage. It's good to be free. He came to set you free. God wants you to be free. Let's pray. Father, we declare in the name of Jesus. Oh, we declare over our thought life. Oh, that our thoughts are free. We bring every thought into captivity. We declare war on every stronghold, over every addiction, over every sin, over anything that the enemy brings into our life. We hold it up to the Word, and we refuse to think on things that are not true. We dedicate ourselves to living godly lives according to your Word. We gird our loins with truth. We hide the word of the truth of God's Word in our heart. Oh, Father, we pray today. Lord, those that are dealing with strongholds, those that are dealing with patterns of thought, those that have their life entangled in sin, Lord, we know it's not your will. We know it's not your plan. So, Father, we declare freedom on their behalf. We speak to sin and addictions in the name of Jesus. We break your power. We break hold, and we declare freedom and liberty. In the name of Jesus, I bind Satan, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will come and break the chains of bondage in your life. Oh, that you would walk in freedom all the days of your life, that you would know how to live in victory, that you'd know how to live free of sin in your life. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you've come to set us free in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you for it. Now just lift up your hands and just say, I'm free.
I'm free.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.